the Winners of the Faith. And if you weren't here last week, we have some outlines. I can give you outlines, and we could either help you fill in the blanks, or you could take a tape and fill it in yourself if you'd like, whatever you'd like to do. Turn in your Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We will read verses 23 through 29. Tonight we're going to talk about the witness of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. Father, we thank you for the examples of faith that we find in the scriptures. Tonight, as we look at your servant Moses, we pray that we would learn from his life and to be able to apply principles of faith to ours. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. By faith, Moses. Moses' life can be divided into three parts, three 40-year parts. He was 40 years in the court as prince. He was 40 years in the field as a shepherd. And he was 40 years in the wilderness as a leader of a nation. Faith is expensive. Sometimes it costs you things to get faith. At the beginning of Moses' life, some would say that he was a fool and at the end a failure. But in between, we see him as a man of faith. I just look at the whole of his life, and I think he is a testimony of faith. He is a witness to us of what our faith needs to be. And we see three things in the faith life of Moses. We see, first of all, faith's vision. He saw through the temporal things and penetrated to eternal realities. Why? Because he saw God. He saw him who was invisible. And it changed his life, and it gave him new sight. It gave him new eyes, eyes that would see through faith. And then we see faith's value. It's seen as he chose to separate himself and determined to do the will of God. There is nothing greater than doing the will of God. The value of faith to do the will of God is a tremendous thing that each of us need to aspire to. And then face victory. The victory that he had is reflected as he overcame the world, which was represented by Egypt and Pharaoh. Face vision to see through temporary things to eternal things. Face value to separate himself to do the will of God, and the victory when he surrendered to God's will and overcame the world. And that is what we need to have in our life as well. The faith to be able to see beyond the temporary things of our life, that we would always keep our eyes on that which is eternal, that which represents God. And to see the value of faith, to have the faith to do God's will throughout our life. And to see the victory of faith realized as we overcome the world and surrender to Christ. So by faith we see Moses, first of all, refusing. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know it takes faith to say no. In fact, I think it takes greater faith sometimes to say no than to say yes. Moses refused to remain the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said no to that. He was saying no to all the wealth and fame and position of Egypt. He was willing to say no to it all that he might say yes to God. Once a beautiful young Christian girl had a crush on a certain handsome and popular young man. For weeks, she hoped that he would ask her out on a date. One day, he did. He suggested that they go to a dance. She thought about her Christian convictions against such matters, and yet if she didn't accept, he might never ask her again. So she had this dilemma. What should she do? Reasoning that he might never ask her again, she accepted the date. She said, I'll go on this date and I'll go to the dance, but while I'm with him, I will witness to him about Christ. So during the dance, she asked him, she said, "Are you a Christian?" "Are you?" replied her friend. "Yes, I'm a Christian," she said. "Then what are you doing in a place like this with me?" he answered. You see, it takes real faith, it takes genuine faith, it takes a great deal of faith to be able to stand up and say no. In times of testing and in times of temptations, to not compromise and to say no. In fact, I learned a principle many years ago that I haven't always kept up to, I'm sad to say, but I think it's tremendously important. And the principle is this: God waits on the other side of a compromise to show himself strong in our behalf if we don't take it. If we just don't take the compromise. If we say, "No, I'm not going to do this thing," or "I'm going to take this stand for Christ. I'm not going to give in to that test. I'm not going to give in to that temptation. I'm going to say no to that, and I'm going to say yes to God." God waits for us to see what we're going to do. And if we don't take the compromise, he's waiting there to bless us. Many times we don't see his hand of blessing. We don't see how he would have worked in that situation because we take the compromise. But if we could just say no and learn to trust God, we don't know how it's going to work out. But if we would just say, "No, I'm not going to do that. This is my Christian stance. This is my conviction. This is the principles that I live by," then God will show himself strong. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or turned toward him. Those that are turned toward him, not to be compromised with. And so it takes faith to say no. Moses refused. He refused position. He refused popularity. He refused power. He was willing to say no to all of those things. You know, there have been times in my life when I have said no. And looking back, I am so grateful that I took the stand and that I said no. The Lord makes it up to us. We'll see. Moses lost the position. He lost the popularity. He lost the power in Egypt. But he gained so much more. He was willing to look beyond the temporal, the things of this life, to see things in eternal realities. By faith, we see Moses refusing. This is conviction. By faith, we see Moses resolve. This is choosing. Verse 25 tells us, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Moses chose, he made that his choice, to suffer affliction with the people of God. This took faith. It always does. It always takes faith to choose to suffer affliction. Sin offers pleasures, but just for a short season. Behind the pleasure of sin, there is always the deceitfulness of sin. Moses made the choice. He made a definite decision. He would not waver on that. He made his choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction. People know us by the choices that we make. That's all they have to go on is the end result, the choice that we make. They don't know the struggle that we have before we make the choice, they just see the choice. People know the choices that you make. Moses was tempted, as we are all tempted, by the lust of the flesh, the pleasures of sin for a season, the lust of the eye, which could have been the riches of Egypt and the pride of life, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He turned his back on those three major temptations. There's both a negative and a positive side to faith refusing, then choosing. And this sequence is always unchanging. There must be a ceasing to do evil before there can be a learning to do well. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from mine eyes, cease to do evil." There must be a hating the evil before a loving the good. Amos 5:15, "Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." There must be a confessing and forsaking before mercy. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Moses considered the worst of the people of God and the best of the world, but preferred the worst to the best. And he did it by faith. Faith must prove itself in choosing. The reward will be sure, it will be large. Faith must not hesitate or halt. It looks at everything in the light of eternity. If you could just get that tonight, to look at everything in the light of eternity, to pass it by the light of eternity, and then refusing, having conviction, and having resolve, choosing, even if it means difficulties, reproach. Reasoning, this is counting. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. This is what Moses did. We must sometimes bear the reproach of Christ if we are to serve him. Now think about this. Moses did this after he'd counted the cost. He knew he would be persecuted. He knew he would bear the reproach of God by serving him. He knew he would suffer. Esteem means to count or to estimate or evaluate. He counted the cost. He estimated, he evaluated the situation. And yet, knowing that he would suffer, he was going to do it anyway. He knew he would be identified, the reproach of Christ. Listen, if the Bible says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, if you are going to live godly, if you are going to have some stands for the Lord, let me tell you, you will suffer. You will be identified with Christ. But we need to realize that that's going to happen and just accept it as part of our Christian service to him. Know it ahead of time. Count the cost. You know, sometimes we don't like to do things if we know we're going to be called a religious fanatic, or we're going to be teased, or we're going to be mocked. Sometimes it's difficult to make the decision to do what's right, knowing that's going to happen. That's what Moses did. And if we want to be people of faith, then we have to be willing to do that as well. So we have refusing, this is conviction. We have resolve, this is choosing. We have reasoning, this is counting. And we have Moses' response, this is character. He forsook Egypt, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Look at his decision. He walked off and left Egypt with all of its luxury, entertainment, and popularity. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. It takes faith to walk away from the allurements of the world, to walk away from some of the things that this world thinks is important. By faith, Moses forsook his world. He forsook Egypt. He went through with the decision of this faith. Forsaking, however, is always the first step. It's the coming out. It's being separate. It's parting with the sin. It's bidding farewell to Egypt, the land of our birth, and not fearing the wrath of Satan or the wrath of this world. Because when we choose to do right, when we choose to follow Christ, when we make that decision, Satan's not going to like it. He will attack us. But by faith, we don't worry about him. And we don't worry about what other people are going to say or do. But then look at not only his decision, but his delight. God called him and then used him. This is the kind of people that God is looking for. God is looking for people who have made the decision, who have turned their back on the world and decided that they are going to walk with him and live for him. Those are the kind of people who will experience God's delight. God will call them and God will use them. God has always been willing to forsake, call men who are willing to forsake all and endure all. Such was Martin Luther for the Reformation. Such was William Carey for the modern day missionary movement. Such was David Livingstone in his opening of Africa to the gospel. God will use those who forsake and endure. So there is refusing, that is conviction. There is resolve, that is choosing. There is reasoning, that is counting. There is response, this is character. And finally, there is reward. This is confidence. Verse 27 tells us, as seeing him who is invisible. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's the confidence that Moses had. Confidence in the promise of God. He had saw God one time, appeared to him out of a burning bush, spoke to him, Moses, take off your shoes, the place whereupon you, which you stand is holy ground. Moses was convinced that he was going to see God again. He did. He met with God on the mountain. He came down. His face shone. People knew that he had been in the presence of God. But that wasn't it. Moses believed that he would, after this life, see God, see him who is invisible, and that he would be rewarded for his choices upon this earth. The faith of Moses did not find immediate response from the people. Instead, he met with resentment and suspicion. In fact, they got down on him after a while when things started getting worse. Pharaoh doubled their workload. Pharaoh was able to duplicate a couple of the plagues. People became suspicious. Who are you, Moses? And yet he had the strength for endurance. Why? Because, first of all, he was disciplined. Disciplined faith is irresistible. If you have disciplined faith, if your faith is disciplined, people will not be able to resist you. They could not resist the spirit and the wisdom by which Stephen spoke. Moses' faith made him strong and fearless. He saw him who is invisible, and he left Egypt with courage and certainty. For others to take courage, our faith must remain steadfast through all testings, radiant despite disappointments, and triumph in all conflicts. People will watch us. They might not be quick to follow us, but they will watch us to see if our faith is disciplined. And if our faith is disciplined, and they see that we remain steadfast in our faith despite the testings, despite the disappointments, and we remain triumphant in all situations, then they're not going to be able to resist us or our faith. He was disciplined, but he was also daring. Verses 28 and 29, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians tried to do, faithless, and they were drowned in the Red Sea. Somebody wrote, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. A faith that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain can lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt." Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. The witness of faith is Moses. Because of refusing, he had conviction. Because of resolve, he made the right choices. Because of reasoning, he counted the cost, but he served the Lord anyway. Because of his response, he had the right character, and he looked forward to the reward. He had confidence that what God promised, he was able also to perform. Remember, we believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Tonight, where is your faith? Do you have conviction? Conviction that will not compromise. Maybe there are some here tonight, you're faced with a situation, you're faced with a decision. You have been tempted to take a compromise. Don't take it. Please do not take the compromise. God is waiting on the other side of that compromise to show himself strong for you. Do you have resolve? "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight." The world, with its allurements, does not hold you in its power. You have resolved to live on higher ground. Have you counted the cost? I once worked as a guard in this empty building. It was a hotel that was supposed to be built. They had not counted the cost before they started, and they ran out of money. It was a sad situation. Here's this building, halfway done, but unable to finish. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to count the cost, forsake all, and follow him. Do you have the right character? And do you have confidence in your reward? How many here tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? "Pastor, I'm lacking in one or more of these areas. I don't have conviction, haven't made the right choices, haven't counted the cost. My character is not what it should be. Or I just lack confidence in the promises of God." Is there anybody here like that? Could you just raise your hand up and then down? Amen. 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 Thank you for your honesty tonight. That's the first step. We confess, and then he's able to show his mercy and give us his grace. Lord, I pray for those tonight that have raised their hand. This is not always easy. It's not easy to be people of faith and to live by faith. But I thank you for Moses tonight and his witness. Lord, give us all conviction. Things that we are willing to die for. Lord, help us as we make the right choices. We would choose to follow you. And then, Lord, help us not to be naive, but to count the cost that we might forsake all and truly be your disciple, a disciplined one. And then, Lord, we pray that we would all have the response that Moses had, as our character is beyond reproach. It's out there for everyone to see. And then, Lord, increase our confidence, increase our faith in your promises. May we all have eyes that see beyond this world into that which is eternal and heavenly. May we see you who is invisible. Lord, may we always have the right response. Give us endurance. May we remain steadfast. May we remain radiant. May we remain triumphant in all our conflicts. If we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. It's really important to make commitments, and that's why Pastor Craig and I know others who teach Sunday school and use this pulpit or whatever, we ask for commitments, because if you have no commitments, you won't know when you're compromising or not. But if you've made commitments, then you know when you go beyond those commitments, you are compromising. And that's why I think David purposed in his heart when he was just a young boy, he would not defile himself. And then when he got thrown into the position where it would have been so easy to say yes, and it's always easy to say yes, to compromise, when he got in those positions, he refused to say yes. Now, I will not drink of the king's wine. I will not eat of his meat. I will not defile myself. I will not compromise and stop praying. See, he had those convictions as a young person. And I really appreciate it when you kids here, you raise your hands right along with the adults and you're making commitments, because the Lord will remind you of those commitments when you get into situations where you might compromise. The Lord will remind you, hey, you made a commitment here. And although it might be easy to say yes, don't give in to them. And you've got moms and dads, and you've got people from this church who will stand with you. Amen. You don't have to stand alone. We'll stand with you. Right? Making the right decisions is not always easy. Sometimes hard, but we will stand with you. So we want you to know that. You're not alone. Right? Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. God bless you.